that song. Listen to the hammer ring and rejoice. Why would we rejoice about hammers nailing a man to the cross? Because that man was no ordinary man, right? He was the God-man. 100% God, 100% man. As God, He gives to us His righteousness. As man, He takes the penalty of our sin. Oh, praise God. I enjoy worshiping here at First Baptist Church. I don't want to be anywhere else. I hope that God has blessed you as we've worshiped together for His glory. Let me invite you to take your Bibles to open up 1 Peter chapter number 1. 1 Peter in the New Testament in chapter number 1. I'm sorry, I don't know it in the Pew Bible. I didn't look it up. Someone will have to tell me what page is 1 Peter chapter 1 on in the Pew Bible. Whoever finds it, you let me know, and we'll let everybody else know. They have trouble finding 1 Peter in the Pew Bible. But do turn to 1 Peter 1. We're going to be looking at the end of chapter 1, the beginning of chapter 2. 814. Thank you, Brother Chris. Page 814 in the Pew Bible there. And I do invite you to have a copy of the Word of God in your hand. Well, I liked watching that up there on the video, those young people holding up their Word. Let's do that. You got a Bible in your hand, hold it up and let's look around. Isn't that great to see the Word of God in the building of God, held up by the people of God for the glory of God? We do exalt His Word here for God's glory. 1 Peter chapter 1. Now, I told you earlier we're on the fourth purpose for our existence, and that is the purpose for discipleship. Discipleship is why we're here. Now, when I think about discipleship, I think about becoming more like Jesus Christ. And I want to share with you what I believe is the most important way we can become like the Lord Jesus Christ, the way that we can become disciples for God's glory. And it's found at the end of 1 Peter chapter 1 and the beginning of 1 Peter chapter 2. And you may say, well, that's kind of odd, but remember that the chapter divisions, while they're very helpful to us and they're usually pretty accurate about where to find the beginning and end of a passage, they're not always accurate. And you're going to see that as I read the passage and you follow along, because my topic is the Word of God. And it actually begins in verse number 22 of 1 Peter chapter 1. So I'm going to read verses 22 through chapter 2, verse 3. Let me invite you to stand now in honor of the reading of the Word of God. Got some extra folks here in the congregation because some of you all are going to be working over in TriFest. I look around here, I'm wondering if there's going to be anybody in the second service. But you're going to be here? All right, Brandon, thanks for showing up, man. Appreciate it. 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 22. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever, because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and its flower falls away. But the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby, since indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful for your Word. We thank you, we who know you by faith in Jesus Christ, that we have tasted of the Lord, that we understand something of the graciousness and the kindness and the goodness of God. Thank you for your Word. Now speak to us through your Word, we pray, and open our hearts and minds to receive what you say. We ask, dear God, please help us stay attentive to your Word at this time for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Be seated, please. I have often said and will continue to say that the Christian life is like a journey. And one of the things I really like to communicate, especially to new Christians or to our new members of the Body Life Journey Workshop, is just that. That this life we're on is a journey. And the only difference between people is that we're all in different stages of the journey. We're all different parts of the path, if you want to think of it that way. But we're all on the same journey. And the journey began at the moment we trusted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. That moment, we began a journey. And everybody's on it. If you've received Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're on the journey. Now, some people are ahead of others. There may be some people who've been on the journey for a very long time. There are other people who have been on the journey for a very short time, maybe just a few months or a few years. But age really doesn't have a whole lot to do with it. There may be some people who have been on the journey just for a few weeks who are already surpassing some who have been on the journey for a few years. But every one of us is on the journey. You know what? I really wish someone had shared that with me at the age of 15 when I made my profession of faith in Jesus Christ and I was baptized. I want to tell you something. I've told you this before. I thought at that moment, man, I graduated. I got it all. I'm finished now. I'm done. I can now watch everybody else sweat during the invitation. I didn't have to worry about my knuckles turning white anymore. I could look around and say, yeah, I remember that. Not there anymore. I thought that was it. How I wish someone had come alongside me and said, I want to tell you something, Todd, you've just begun. You have just begun the journey. I wish someone had told me about discipleship. What is discipleship? I said a moment ago, it is our becoming more and more like Jesus Christ with each passing day. That really is discipleship. Every one of us becomes more and more like Jesus as the days pass. At least we should, because that's discipleship. And we're growing along on this journey, becoming more like Christ, being conformed into the image of God's Son, as Brother Allen read from Colossians chapter 1 earlier on that video. That's where we are. Now, I want to share with you how I believe we can be best equipped to become like Jesus Christ. That is, I want to share with you what I believe is the primary component to our growth or our sanctification. If you want to use a theological word, sanctification simply means we become increasingly holy. It is a pattern of lifestyle that with every passing day, we're becoming, as I said, more like Christ, which means we're becoming more holy, more sanctified, more set apart. What is the best way to accomplish that? Because we become more and more like Jesus through a number of different ways. But I want to share with you what I believe is the most important way. And I want us to look at the Word of God and understand that it is through His Word that we grow and become like Christ. So here's a question I want to answer this morning. What role does God's Word have in discipleship? That's where we're going. What role does God's Word have in discipleship? And I'm going to take you back through that text and we'll answer that question. So take out a pen or a pencil or lipstick or mascara, something to write with, and we'll go right through it again and we'll glean some of the main points from this passage and hopefully remember them that we might then grow as a result. Okay, you got your Bibles open. Let's look at it again. Here's number one. What role does God's Word have in discipleship? It begins here. Number one, God's Word saves us. Say amen. Amen. Good. Because that's a good place to say amen. God's Word saves us. Now, when I say God's Word saves us, obviously, I'm implying we need to be rescued from something, right? Well, we do. The Bible teaches that we have a problem. And the problem is what? Rhymes with my last name. Sin. That's right. Not Lynn. That may be a problem for a number of reasons, but sin is the primary problem. We're sinners by nature. We're sinners by choice. The Bible says every one of us is guilty of it. All have sinned and fall short. Young people, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. Aren't you glad they knew that? Well, listen, we all are sinners. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. And the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. Romans 6:23. So sin has a penalty and the penalty is death. We got a problem then. We need to be rescued from the penalty of sin. And the only way to be rescued from the penalty of sin is through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we can rejoice when we hear the hammer ringing. Because Jesus Christ took our place on the cross. He took the penalty of sin upon Himself when He died there for you and me. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the what? The Word of God. God's Word saves us. You can't be saved apart from the Word of God. Did you know that? You can't. You cannot be saved apart from hearing and receiving the Word of God. I mean, you can watch Christian television. You can watch a good Christian movie, the Jesus film. You can listen to good Christian music. But you will not be saved unless you hear or read and then receive the Word of God. That's the only way we may be saved. That's why God's Word is so important, because God's Word saves us. Now look again at verses 22 and 23 then, as Peter reminds us of this fact. He says, verse 22, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, and he's talking to Christians, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. His whole point is, you Christians, love one another. And then he says, now let me remind you how it's possible for you to have that kind of love. Verse 23, having been what? Born again. Having been born again. That is not a Baptist term. That is a Bible term. Born again. You and I must be born again. That's what the Bible teaches. He says, you have been born again, not of corruptible seed, but he says rather of incorruptible seed through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. What is he saying there? Well, he's using the illustration of our physical birth. That is, you and I were brought into this world by our parents. Now, what he's saying is that is corruptible seed. In other words, we have been birthed into this world. We have physical life, but our physical life is going to what? End, right? Is there anybody here who doesn't believe that eventually, physically, we will die? If you do, just look at the statistics. They remain unchanged. One out of every one person dies. Hasn't changed a bit. We all know that's true. That's what Peter's saying here. You were born of corruptible seed. The life your parents gave to you, we praise God for that, but it will not last forever. But those of you who have trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior have been born again, not of incorruptible seed, perishable seed, that doesn't last, but rather of imperishable seed, of incorruptible seed, that is a seed that lasts forever. You and I will last forever if we've trusted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. So he says, you have been born again. That is, God's Word saves us. It comes through the Word of God which lives and abides forever. Well, we praise God for that. You know, I have said before that if you have only been born once, you will die twice, right? That's true. I mean, if we've just been born once physically into this world, we die twice. Because we die a physical death, but we also die a spiritual death because we're separated from God. However, if you have been born twice, you'll only die once. Because if you've been born again or born from above, God has taken care of your spiritual death. So we only die one time physically. We die and we merely depart from this land and we go to the next to be with Jesus. We must be born again. It's the only way for that to happen. It's a good word. Being born again is necessary. God's Word saves us. There's no other way we can be born again except receiving the gospel, the good news, the Word of God that saves us. There's no other way. You can be a good person and not be saved. You can be a good religious person and not be saved. You can be baptized and not be saved. You can go ahead and fill out the list and just put down anything you want. Anything apart from trusting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior is insufficient for getting into heaven. The Bible says you must be born again. Jesus talked to a very nice, good, religious man in John's Gospel, chapter 3. And his name was Nicodemus. And he was a good man, a religious man. And what did Jesus say? Nicodemus, you must be what? Born again. And I want to say, if you're here this morning and you've never been born again, born from above, today, receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Receive Him into your life. Be born again, born twice, that you might die just once. God's Word saves us. What role does God's Word have in discipleship? It begins there. God's Word saves us, and God's Word saves us precisely because, secondly, God's Word survives us. That's the whole point Peter's making right here. You and I are going to die. But God's Word will survive us. God's Word will last forever. God's Word will outlive mankind. Isn't that what he's saying in the very next verse? He says, verse 24, all flesh is as grass. All the glory of man as the flower of the grass. How do you like that? The glory of man is as the flower of grass. Sounds pretty good. Then he says, well, let me explain. The grass withers. Its flower falls away. But the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is that word which by the gospel was preached to you. And Peter is quoting from the prophet Isaiah chapter 40 verses 6 through 8 when he says, our lives are going to pass away, but the word of God abides forever. We're just like grass. We may look good, you know. We may appear very healthy and all of that, but eventually we're going to fade away. But the word of God will outlive us. The word of God survives us. And that's why we need to understand that, yes, discipleship begins at salvation. God's word saves us precisely because God's word survives us. Now, I want us to move ahead real quickly, and I want us to see then the next three verses and take a look at what else that the Word of God does with respect to discipleship. We've said God's Word saves us. God's Word survives us. Chapter 2, verse 1. Now we see that God's Word sanctifies us. Sanctifies us. I mentioned earlier the word sanctification means the idea of being set apart or becoming more and more like Jesus Christ. A pattern of holy living. How does that happen? Through the Word of God. When you and I get our nutrition from the Word of God, we begin to live a different kind of life. And you can see a pattern evolve of holiness, of becoming more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. God's Word truly does sanctify us. So you look at verse 2, and the Bible says, therefore, and most of the translations have the word therefore there. And how many times have I said, one gazillion from the pulpit? When you see the word therefore at the beginning of a verse, you've got to ask, what is the therefore? Therefore, right? I don't just begin reading there and just move on. The therefore, it obviously assumes something precedes it that's very important. It builds upon that context. What were we previously talking about? We're talking about the Word of God that saves us. You can't have sanctification without salvation. You can't start talking about holy living until you've been saved. If you and I start talking about doing the things of verse 1, laying aside all malice and deceit, hypocrisy, without being saved, what are we going to do? Well, we might succeed for a moment or two, and we might pat ourselves on the back, and we say, well, that was a good ethical lesson. We've all learned some ethics today. Forget about it. We need to have salvation before we even talk about sanctification. Because I cannot on my own lay aside malice, deceit, hypocrisy, and envy, and so forth. I can't do that unless I've been born again. The Spirit of God works in me and through me to accomplish that. Only now are we ready to talk about sanctification. God's Word saves us, then God's Word sanctifies us. Do not confuse the order. Some religious groups do. How do you get into heaven? Well, you got to live a good life. Everybody knows that. All right, go for it. Hope you make it. If that's it, I'm in trouble. Bible says one sin will keep me out of the presence of God. And I've already committed probably a dozen just right now thinking. You know, the more you grow in the Lord Jesus Christ, aren't you more aware of your sinful nature? I mean, if I've got to be good to get to heaven, I'm in trouble. So forget about that. That doesn't work. Don't begin sanctification without salvation. We've got to be saved first. Then we're prepared now to talk about how we live this life. And that's precisely what Peter says when he says, therefore. Therefore, that is, hey, look, this is where you were. You were saved now. You're born again. Having been born again, now, let me tell you how to live. But don't try to live this life without being born again. I mean, I guess it's okay to do it, but don't expect that you're going to get into the presence of heaven. Don't expect that you're going to earn God's favor. So he says, having been born again, now live this way. All right, look at these five bad behaviors. How do you like that? I mean, that's when I was working through the text, I thought, what can we call this? How about five bad behaviors? But they really are. He says, these are the things you're supposed to lay aside. This is your life before Christ. Lay aside malice, deceit, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking. Man, that's some bad stuff, isn't it? He says, if you're a Christian, lay this stuff aside because it's not who you are. You've been born again. I mean, this is your BC life before Christ. Having been born again, lay all of that aside. Hey, do you know anybody who hasn't laid some of that stuff aside? I mean, that claims the name of Jesus Christ, professes faith in Christ. Man, I know folks, don't you? And you look at this and you think, something's wrong because I see this kind of behavior. I see envy. Or I see hypocrisy. I see evil speaking. I mean, there are folks who profess to know Jesus Christ, who speak evil about one another. Well, how's that possible? That's wrong, isn't it? Paul says, lay it aside, or Peter says, lay it aside, as does Paul, like a filthy garment. That's not who you are. You profess the name of Jesus Christ, get rid of these five behaviors. And you know what? When you and I see one another acting in this way, we ought to hold one another accountable. Something isn't right. Either we're not saved or we're not growing in our sanctification, becoming more and more like Jesus. Someone calls you on the phone and says, hey, listen, I'm not gossiping, but... You ever get word? Hey, I'm not talking about anybody, but... That's a signal for you right there to step in and say, yes, you are. And I'm going to hang up. Okay? That's what I'm talking about. Man, it's quiet in here. Y'all get phone calls like that? I'm telling you, that's where it begins. You hear somebody speaking evil of another brother or sister in Christ. You say, listen, brother, stop that. Lay it aside. You and I are to grow together in the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter says, lay it aside. You've been born again, haven't you? The Bible says, lay it aside. God's Word sanctifies us. See, I believe verse 1 and 2 are so connected together that when you read verse 2 where it says, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word, I think what he's saying there is, look, instead of desiring the things of verse 1, bad desires, desire the good stuff that comes from the Word of God. God's Word sanctifies us. We become more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the point of the next verse, verse 2. We see number 4, that God's Word strengthens us. God's Word strengthens us. Verse 2 is a great memory verse. How many of you have memorized verse 2? It's okay, I'm not going to call on you and make you come up here and recite. I just want to know, has anyone in this congregation memorized verse 2? First Peter, I see one hand up in the balcony. Really? Memorize verse 2. I'll ask the same question next week. How many have memorized verse 2? And you'll say, I did it. As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word. Why? That you may grow thereby. That's a great verse to know. Because what Peter is saying is here is the best way to grow in your salvation, to become more and more like Jesus, by craving, yearning for, desiring the right stuff, the Word of God, pure milk of the Word, by which you may grow. Oh, I believe it is the natural desire of a Christian to crave the Word of God. How many of you have ever watched a little baby drink milk out of a bottle? Can I see your, how about we have a lot more hands now? How many of you, either parents or grandparents, or you've watched other people, you know, you've seen those little babies sucking on that bottle. Isn't that cute? You just can't get enough. There's a natural craving for that milk, right? A newborn baby has a natural craving for the milk and will cry out when he's hungry, right? Will cry out sometimes in the middle of the night. And all the young couples said, amen. Let you know when it's hungry because there's a natural desire there for that milk. Do you know what Peter's saying? There's a natural desire for the Christian for the Word of God. As newborn babes, just as a baby desires naturally the milk that brings nourishment, you and I must naturally desire. It's interesting. I believe it's a natural desire, and yet at the same time, Peter commands it. He says, desire, crave, Because our tendency is to fill that natural desire with other stuff. He says, as newborn babes desire the pure or sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. And when you start feeding upon the word of God, how many of you know you can't get enough of the word of God? I was so blessed and honored to preach Brother Norman Hill's funeral service yesterday. Man, Norman was just a great godly man. Our great runner here finished his race Wednesday afternoon, went home to be with Jesus. I learned an awful lot about his family and the legacy and heritage there. And it was really encouraging to me. I learned things like Norman had read through the Bible several times. And he had given those Bibles that he read through to his children. Hey, fathers, what a great gift to give to your children. I read through this. It's a gift for you. You read through it now. He had done that. It's a natural desire that you and I have for the Word of God. And when we begin to feed on that Word, we can't get enough of it. Man, we want more and more of it. That's why we come to worship service. Amen. Right? That's why we come to Sunday school. Amen. For the Word of God. I love to get the Word of God. I'd sooner starve physically. And I know you're looking at me saying, yeah, right. But it's true. I mean, I love the Word, don't you? I can't get enough. That's why we come, and that's why we listen to teachers and preachers giving us the Word of God, that we might feed upon it and draw our nutrition from it. You know, back several months ago, back last fall, when we began our new schedule for worship and Sunday school, we knew, man, this was going to be something we hoped would appease the most people because it's going to be difficult. We wanted to expand Sunday school, but we knew, got a lot of people coming early, getting out at 10:30. They like it. We got a lot of people coming later and getting out at 12. And they like it. What's the middle ground? And how can we do it with quality and so forth? And we praise God that He led us to do what we're doing, the simultaneous sessions and the success of it. God has blessed it with growth, and I'm so grateful for it. We were particularly grateful as a church to begin getting positive feedback early on. And many, many months ago, after the schedule began, in our faith training, faith learners, how many of you have been through faith? Faith learners, you know that you're asked to give your Sunday school testimony. You have to actually write it out. And one of our members had written a Sunday school testimony from last fall. And I just want to share it with you because it reflects a desire for growth. And how it is that God has blessed through this. And what's so neat, too, is how honest that this person is. I don't think you'll mind. You won't mind if I mention your name. Randy, would you mind if I mentioned your name? Randy, put it. But I want to share his testimony and how his initial skepticism was just squelched by what became an awesome opportunity to grow. Let me just read what he puts here. Our church and Sunday school classes have been really growing over the past several years. We were starting to get so many people in our class, we barely had a place for everyone to sit. So several weeks ago, and I was talking about last fall when he wrote this, several weeks ago, our church changed our worship schedule from the traditional schedule of early church, everyone in Sunday school, and then late church, to a completely different schedule. We now have two Sunday school classes, two worship services. A worship service and a Sunday school class start at 8:40 and lasts until 10 a.m., really 9:55, but we'll forgive you all for that. And at 10 a.m., you switch. Depends how long the preacher goes, too. Amen. Okay. Those of you, he says, those of us, rather, who go to the early Sunday school, then go to the sanctuary for service. And then the early service people go to Sunday school. Second session, he says, lasts 10:15 to 11:30. Now, when our church was discussing this change, I have to admit, I did not know how I would like it. I am a creature of habit. Amen. And like most people, I was pretty comfortable with the routine I was in. Can I get a witness again? Amen. We get comfortable. Let's face it. My wife and I had a hard enough time getting ourselves and our kids out of bed to Sunday school at 9:40 like it was in the old schedule. Once again, amen. All right. We thought there'd be no way that we could make it by 8:40 every Sunday. But my wife and I decided to commit to the change and give the new schedule a chance. Boy, we are sure glad we did. This new schedule has worked out great for us and our kids. We now have extra time to spend in our Sunday school class. We can share, laugh, joke, comfort each other when needed. Before the change, the class members only had a couple of minutes for a quick hello and small talk before getting into the lesson. Now we really have the opportunity to get to know one another without feeling like we're being rushed. Before the change, our teacher had a hard time getting through the lesson without having to hurry. Now we have plenty of time to really get into the Word of God. Amen. I still can't believe how much better a Bible study has become. And the best part is, he writes, now that we have smaller classes, we have plenty of room for visitors like you. Of course, he's writing it from the standpoint of inviting somebody to be a part of what's going on at First Baptist Church. Not to mention, the pastor now finishes his sermon right at 11:30, so we beat the crowd to Shoney's for lunch. I like that, Randy. Thanks for putting that in, man. And he writes, but seriously, I have a whole new attitude about our Sunday school class and coming to church. What a blessing this change has been. Randy, I haven't asked you. You feel the same way now that you did back in August? Praise God. Now, there's something about, and he talks about fellowship, too. We're going to be talking about that next time. But discipleship, growing, becoming more and more like Jesus Christ, getting into the Word of God. You have a natural desire for the Word of God, and you can't get enough of it. And I was reading about a pastor who lamented the fact that so many of his congregation were coming only to his worship service. He said, I feel like, you know, I stand up here in the pulpit and you open your mouth and I bottle feed you and then I shake your hand and pat you on the back and burp you on the way out. That's what he said. And I thought, what a tragedy. You know, if folks would come only for one thing and only get that, man, I want you to know I have a natural desire for the Word of God. And by the way, I don't get enough of it Sunday. And I'm not talking about just Wednesday, too. And I love Wednesday. I love to teach the Word on Wednesday. But I'm talking about those other days, too. I'm talking about personal Bible time, devotion time. Do you read through the Word of God regularly, as Brother Allen was talking about? I mean, you get the Word. Is it satisfying your soul? Because nothing will satisfy your soul like the Word of God. Nothing. And the problem is, too often we feed ourselves other things. Have you ever spoiled your appetite? I mean, I'm talking about physically now. Have you ever eaten a bunch of junk food? Hey, does TriFest come to mind? Right? I mean, only a TriFest. I mean, only in America can we think of all different kinds of ways to fry stuff, you know? Hey, this hasn't been fried before. Let's see what happens, you know, and fry it and eat it. Man, that tastes good. Let's do a dozen of them. And you fill up with that stuff. You say, I feel pretty full now. And you don't have an appetite for meat, and potatoes, and green beans, where you really get your nutrition, right? And one of the problems in the churches today are that many Christians are filling up on other things, filling our minds with magazines, and novels, and music. I mean, things that in and of themselves may not be bad, but when we partake of those things and we fill up on all that stuff and we feel full, we're not getting our nutrition from the Word of God. Strikes me, the people who impress me the most on their spiritual journey, the one I want to sit down and have a cup of coffee with and learn from, is the one who's in the Word. The Word of God emanates from her. She can't speak without the Word coming out. He can't give counsel without the Bible just spilling out. See, that's how we grow. As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word that you may grow thereby, because nothing will satisfy your soul as the Word of God. You know why? Because God created us to have a relationship with Him. Right? He did. And that's why Peter ends this discussion with verse 3, where he says, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. And I think the word if is really better translated since, because he's talking to believers. And he says, since, after all, you have tasted the graciousness or the kindness or the goodness of God. An allusion, surely, to Psalm 34:28. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. You know, when you and I partake of the Word of God, why is it that God's Word satisfies us? Because it's God's Word, right? Because it is the Word in which we encounter God. This is not some book that we just read for knowledge's sake. We read the Word of God and we encounter God. You want to draw closer to God? Read His Word. You want to become more and more like Jesus Christ, encounter Christ as you read His Word. God's Word satisfies us as nothing else. That's a challenge to me this week. I like to surf the internet. Confession time, okay? I love it. I mean, I look at news and blogs and all that stuff. I enjoy doing that. I got an idea some of you who aren't nodding your head inside are going, me too. But you got some other thing you enjoy doing, watching television or something like that. And you can spend an awful lot of time doing that stuff and not getting enough nutrition from the Word of God. Nothing satisfies my soul as the Word. Isn't that what the psalmist teaches us in Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3? Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be as a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season. And even his leaf shall not fade away. Everything he does prospers. Why? Because he delights in the Word of God. Psalm 19, verse 16. I love thy Word. It's sweeter than honey and the honeycomb. Psalm 119, that whole psalm is all about the Word. But the psalmist says things like, I delight in your law. I will not forget your Word. I love your commandments more than gold, yea, than fine gold. I mean, the delight of the law of God, the Word of God, the statutes, the commandments, that is what feeds us. And our Lord Jesus Himself, did He not say, as He was fighting off Satan, there in the wilderness, He gives you and I the key. What does He say? Matthew 4, verse 4. Man shall not live by bread alone, but what? By every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I want to challenge you, congregation, as I challenge myself afresh and anew. Get in the Word. I mean, that's my prayer for Brother Todd. I've got stacks of verses I memorized years ago. And I used to go through those things and just one after the other, after the other, after the other. Because it fed my soul. And I mean stacks. And I went to seminary. And you got to go to seminary sometimes to lose your spirituality. I don't know what it is. But you get there and you get all this academia and you're talking about this theologian and quoting that guy and all that stuff. And if you're not careful, you can get so focused on academics that you miss the power of the Word of God. So I've got a personal goal to get back into the Bible memorization, working through my scripture memory cards. And I want to challenge, that's why I challenged some of you earlier, memorize 1 Peter 2, verse 2 for next week. And we'll do a little quiz next time. I'll say, how many of you did it? And we'll recite it together. But I want to challenge you to get in the Word of God. I want you to join me in this pursuit. We'd say, God, renew my passion for discipleship. That I might yearn and crave and desire after the right stuff. Help me do it. Help our church body do it for the glory of God. Will you join me in that pursuit? Say amen if you will. Amen. Stand for prayer. Stand for prayer. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible teaches us that the written Word testifies to the living Word. And who is the living Word? Our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, these are the Scriptures that testify of Me. Remember that when He said that to the scribes and Pharisees? Search the Scriptures. For in them you shall find salvation. For these are they which testify of Me. I want to tell you that if you're here this morning, and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, this is where it all begins. Remember, God's Word saves us. What is that Word that brings salvation? The good news of the Gospel. That even though you and I have been born in sin, we have a sinful nature and we sin by choice. As bad as that is, and the truth of the fact that should we die that way, we spend eternity separated from God. That it doesn't have to be that way. Good news. The good news is Jesus Christ has taken your punishment on the cross. He's taken mine on the cross. He died for our sins. Now, salvation isn't automatic. You say, okay, that's it. I believe that. That's all. No, no. It involves decision. Jesus said, as many as receive Me, to them are given the right to become children of God. To be saved, we must reach out and receive Jesus Christ into our lives. That means we got to get honest about our condition. We got to admit we're sinners. We got to say, God, I know I've made mistakes. Forgive me. Forgive me. I turn from my sin and I turn to Jesus Christ. Jesus, come into my life and change me and make me a new person. And I'll follow you the rest of my days. We got to get honest with God. And I want to tell you right now, this morning, if you have not done that, you cannot leave here today saying, I didn't know what to do. Because if God is speaking to your heart and He's tugging at you and He's saying, receive me now, be saved today, and you don't do that, you'll leave here in disobedience and stand before a holy God, separate from sin, and give an account one day for our sinfulness. This morning, if you've not been saved, trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Ask Him into your life. Have the courage to follow Him in obedience. Bow with me for prayer right now. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Dear God, I ask in Christ Jesus' name, in the power of Jesus' name, that if there are some in our midst right now who don't know You savingly, maybe good people, maybe church members, maybe even Sunday school teachers or deacons, there may be folks here who outwardly are very religious, but inwardly are desperately lost. Dear God, I pray Your Spirit will just grab hold of their hearts. And that this morning, unashamedly, they will come and say yes to Jesus Christ. Do that great work, we pray, Father. More important than any other work, we trust You to bring souls into the kingdom. With heads bowed and eyes closed, let me tell you again, if God's working on your heart, you say, I don't know what to do, I just know I need God. Well, in a moment, we're going to have our hymn of invitation. We'll sing. And as we do, I'm going to invite you simply to leave your place there on the first note. Just get out of that pew and get into the aisle. Make your way to the front. I'll be standing here. There'll be others with me. And as you come, all you need say is, I need peace with God. That's all you need say. One of us will pray with you and show you from the Scriptures how you can have peace, taking as much time as necessary. You need to come and get your heart right with God this morning, whether it's to be saved or rededicate your life to Jesus Christ. Do not delay. The Spirit of God works upon our hearts, and we must follow. Follow Him this morning. Others of you have been visiting this church for some time. God has made it clear that He wants you to be a member of this church and get active and serve and use your gifts for the glory of God through the body of Christ. This is the church that God's led you to. You come in a moment and you unite with us. We'll be blessed to have you alongside one another for God's glory. And still others of you may need to just come pray at this altar. It's always open. And Father, we do ask in Jesus' name, as You do Your work, we'll be faithful. We'll be obedient, and as we sing, we'll follow You in Christ's name. Amen. As we sing right now, you need to come, whatever your decision, come right now. Don't delay. Step out, come right now.
To Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live. I surrender all, I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all to Jesus I surrender, make me Savior wholly Thine. Let me feel Thy Holy Spirit, truly know that Thou art mine. I surrender all, I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all to Jesus I surrender, Lord.
Amen.
I give myself.
Still time. God's
to
working
thee.
On your heart. You come right
fill
now.
Fill me with Thy love and power.
As the Spirit of God
let
moves.
Thy blessings fall.
What is He saying to you?
Me. I surrender all,
Lord.
I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender all to Him. I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live. I surrender all, I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all to Jesus, I surrender, make me Savior, wholly Thine. Let me feel Thy Holy Spirit, truly know that Thou art mine. I surrender all, I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. I surrender all, I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all.
Amen. Well, we rejoice in the Spirit of God moving in our midst here, and I just thank God for a great church family, and patience as God moves in us and through us. This gentleman who just came forward, I mean, I talked with him before. I don't think he'd mind my saying. He said, 35 years, been out of the will of God, 35 years, coming home today. Isn't that great? Praise God. Praise God for that. We rejoice. Amen. God is good, and He continues to bless us. And this week, let's focus on His Word, and let's really delve in and dig deep and get our nutrition. All right, I want to share with you a few things going on as you go to Sunday school, and except for those of you in the early bird class, and but to the rest of you going to Sunday school, let me share with you real quickly a few things going on real fast. Don't forget about what I said earlier, our next week services. We're going to have Sunday school and worship, then we're going over to Central Park, and we're going to party down, we're going to have a good time. And fellowship with one another. We will not have Sunday evening services next week because we're just going to spend time having a great time of fellowship there. Then men's breakfast is this Saturday, man, at 7:30. This Saturday, Brother Roy Mays is going to share. And you want to come out, men's breakfast Saturday, 7:30 a.m. Don't forget about that, too. All right. Then one other thing I want to share with you. Brother Marty Corsi has a dream and a vision that I share. And he went through the work of getting this nice little handout created. And many of you have seen this at our ministry fair. This is for men and women. We want to have men and women's Bible reading groups. Now, this is actually a theological reading group. And the goal of this group is to read through, are you ready for this? Wayne Grudem's Systematic Theology book. Don't be intimidated by the size, but you can use it as a doorstop. I mean, it's a good size book, but it will feed your soul because it's full of Scripture. And we have a vision of men's groups and women's groups getting together and reading through this. It may take a year to do it, but just meeting together at a time convenient for the group. So if you're interested in this, Marty tells me there's some. Are there some there? Good. On the chair, that nice little red chair there. And over here, too, where Dickie is and Rob over here. Pick up one of these on the way out. If you're going out that door, pick up one of these, either of these two doors. Then you can come tonight after the evening service. We'll meet in the fellowship hall, talk about how it's going to work. But this is mainly for you to get some information, and then you can sign up for a day that would work good for you. And we're going to try to make these groups so that it will meet everyone's schedules. So don't forget, pick one of these up. I'm looking forward to this. I've read the book. And it's a great book, and I'm going to read it again, so I encourage you to do that. All right, Brother Rich, you come up here, and Stacy. I'm so excited about Rich and Stacy. Now, they've come this morning also. Amen. I forgot that when Rich came up, he said, we're also coming to join the church. I said, oh, that's right. We've got to do that too. But I'm so blessed and to know, I mean, many of you don't know this, but my very first visit in Henderson County was at Rich and Stacy's house. Michelle and I had come as however long ago, 3.5, almost 4 years ago now, we came. We weren't even moved into the house yet. We were over at the L&N, and we came over Monday night to do visitation. And the very first house we went to, Rich and Stacy's house, they were prospects for the church. Rich, who would have thought at that time that you would be ordained in this church and then come serve on staff as our minister of education? But isn't that great? Let's just rejoice in God's providence and working through that. Amen. Amen. And I know we're running late, but it's just like I said Wednesday night. Just blame it on Mike Kirkbride, okay? He's the one who took the fall. No, but if you will, Rich, just share with us a word. Stacy, if you'd like as well. And I'm going to ask you both to just join me out here outside. If folks want to come by who haven't had a chance yet, just to shake your hand and embrace you all. But share with us if you'd like.
I don't want to take a lot of time because I know, as he said, we are running late, but we are so glad to be home.
Amen.
Because for us, that's what it is. It's coming home. We both have home churches that we were at before coming to First Baptist, but nowhere is home like First Baptist Henderson. And we are excited about what God has put before us as a ministry to reach this church, to reach out in the educational area of this church. And I'm looking forward to working with everyone who works in that area in Sunday school and discipleship. And if you don't, I may be after you. So you may want to go ahead and start hiding. But we're gonna look forward to great things. There's a great educational ministry at this church already.
Amen.
But we just want to make what's already good even better. So we're looking forward to, in the words of something that you often hear Brother Todd say, working in the greatest church in Henderson.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. All right. Oh, see, they're just going out those doors, and I'll meet you in a moment. Praise God. You'll want to say hello to Rich and Stacy on the way out. If you haven't had a chance to do so yet, they were with us Wednesday, but some of you weren't here. So you be sure, go by and say hello. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. Hey, tonight I'm preaching back in Genesis. My topic this evening, famous last words. Maybe the last time I speak. No, I'm teasing. It may be. We don't know, do we? But we're going to look at Jacob's famous last words. And with that in mind, Brother Allen, your last words. Will you lead us in prayer? Thank you so much.
Father, may we be convicted as we leave this room about what the pastor has told us this morning about being disciples, that must start with the Word, that we take that Word and we live it so that others might live it as well. Father, bless us in that endeavor as we leave this place. We pray this in your strong Son's name. Amen.
Now as we turn to leave this place,